Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at denverfan.com. Presented by Siltahar Motors. The car buying experience is as easy as call, click, or come in at Siltahar Motors. Get upfront trade value with one call. Research and compare vehicles at sthmotors.com. Or come in and ask for Greg Larson and get $500 off any purchase. Siltahar Motors. Easy to find and conveniently located right off Highway 36 in Wadsworth. Siltahar Motors. Get everything you want out of a dealership.
Let's ride Denver. The Russell Wilson era is here. Getting you set for tonight's Broncos Monday night opener in Seattle. Here's Schlereth and Evans.
I just want to stay in the sun where I find. I know it's hard sometimes. Pieces of peace in the sun.
Here we go, here we go, here we go. Ever since that magical day back in March when our hopes were dashed, when Aaron Rodgers re-upped with Green Bay, only to find just an hour later that the trade had gone down and Russell Wilson was coming here. And the offseason, the moves, the new ownership, Nathaniel Hackett, everything, it has all arrived at this. It's opening night, everybody. Welcome to it. Schlereth and Evans. Good morning, Mark Schlereth.
Confidence level. Where are you?
Well, first of all, what's up with you, big fella?
How are you?
How you doing?
I got a little frog in my throat.
Let's get you. You sound like Collinsworth did last night.
Yeah.
Your announcers. You know, we talked about the players not being ready yet. Players not being calloused. Announcers.
My throat is not calloused.
Your announcers.
I'm shouting at a 38-35 game.
Yeah.
Screaming, getting excited.
Yeah, you had a good one.
My throat was not ready for that.
You had a good one yesterday.
We really did. It was great.
Detroit. Philadelphia, Detroit was on fire.
It was great. Hey, man, the fans were so excited. I will tell you this. What Hard Knocks has done for Detroit and what Hard Knocks has done for, you know, Detroit, Dan Campbell, but what Hard Knocks has done for a lot of those players, what it's done for that city, it's amazing. I mean, it's powerful, Mike. It is powerful. First non-Thanksgiving Day game sellout they have had since 2017.
Well, and as you said, they'd be relevant for at least 1 week. They were. They lost. Yeah. Now they can go back to being Detroit. But we got bigger issues on our mind. Confidence level, yes. Where's my confidence level? I mean, I'm cautiously optimistic. I saw some of the results of yesterday that give me a little bit of pause as to what to expect. Atlanta had New Orleans on the ropes. Houston will be in here next week. Ended up tying Indy. Minnesota just absolutely handled and hammered Green Bay. The Bears beat the 49ers. Granted, that was in a driving rainstorm, but still. So, you know, you saw some examples of some teams that the Giants beat the Titans. So, I don't know. I think I feel the same way about this game now as I did when the schedule first came out and we started talking about this game. I think it's going to be a really tough game. I don't expect it to be high scoring. I think the Broncos are walking into a bit of a buzzsaw. But I do believe that they'll find a way to win in a way. And then when it's all said and done and tomorrow morning we're right back here talking about it, it's going to be a lot of, whew, glad that one's over with.
Yeah, know that. One thing about this weekend, there's a lot of those games out there, like all over the place. How concerned should you be about the Packers? Well, I mean, it's one loss. I get they lost to a division rival, and it's a bit of a mess, but this is the way Packers start the season.
Yeah.
It's kind of how they start and how they finish in the playoffs. And so it's not the end of the world, and what we saw this weekend, where we saw a bunch of teams weren't ready to play, and a bunch of really good, what we think are going to be really good defenses or really solid defenses weren't ready to play. Anyhow, that's but confidence level wise, I'm with you. I think this is going to be a tight game. I think this is going to be a tough game. I think this is going to be a Broncos victory, but I'm not looking for, you know, the game I had 38-35.
No.
I'm looking for the standard 23-13 type of thing, 23-14, whatever, 23-17.
Oh, I would assume you like them maybe with a late score to add on to make that
That difference, like a 9 or 10 point game?
Yeah, I think it's one of those 17-13 games. It becomes 24-13, that type of thing. Late.
Well, right away, some early impressions of what we saw around the NFL yesterday. A chance to just kind of sit and watch the rest of the league as you got set for the Broncos tonight. I think the reports of the demise of Patrick Mahomes without Tyreek Hill, 30 of 39 for 360 yards and 5 touchdowns.
Yeah, he's going to be okay.
Showtime!
I laughed back then when Hill left. Oh, no. What's Mahomes going to do?
Right.
I'm like, Mahomes is a great quarterback. Quarterbacks make receivers. He'll do just fine. He'll turn a bunch of these guys into Pro Bowlers. You still got Kelsey. Yeah. I think that was just a bit of a reminder. And I go back to what was it Peter King from Football Morning in America said when he visited the Chiefs camp, and he said, hey, they kind of got a little chip on their shoulder. They're kind of rejuvenated. They're really buying into this whole idea that, Tyreek Hill left. You guys aren't the same anymore.
Yeah, they seem to be okay.
They seem to be all right.
Yeah, they're going to be just fine.
And Josh McDaniels is 0-1, everybody.
It's a big surprise.
How do you feel about that? Chargers beat the Raiders 24-19. Oh, the big news, by the way, in the NFL, Dak Prescott busted his thumb last night in the Sunday night game. Out 6 to 8 weeks. The old helmet to the thumb.
Cowboy going to cowboy.
Cowboy's going to cowboy.
Get your damn act together.
Hey. Who do they got now?
They went to Cooper Rush.
Cooper Rush.
So, some of the things that happened yesterday in the NFL. Yeah, wild day. So, the Broncos tonight, we'll ask you, same question that Mark just asked me. Where's your confidence level at? We've been waiting all offseason for this night. It is here. Game day is here. How do you feel? You feeling good? Optimistic? A little nervous? A little anxious? A little worried? Where are we at? Broncos country, 303-713-1043. We'll start diving into the matchup, and you know Seattle's going to try to run the football. Are the Broncos already at a disadvantage before they even kick it off? Details next.
Let's ride Denver. The Russell Wilson era is here. Getting you set for tonight's Broncos Monday night opener in Seattle. Here's Schlereth and Evans.
All right, here we go. Let's get into it. We got Mark a little under the weather. He's, for all the talk about, you got to have reps. You got to get out there and play in the preseason. You jumped right into the regular season.
Had no reps.
No reps. And now you're feeling a little bit this morning.
I didn't do any. I didn't do any one on ones.
No,
he had no 7-on-7.
No,
I had no 7-on-7.
Nope.
No one on ones.
Jumped right into an NFL Sunday, screaming your voice off at in Detroit last night. So it'll warm up. You'll get going. Here we go. Let's talk some. Let's talk about this matchup. We've been talking about the game and Russell's return, and you know, is Nathaniel Hackett and his staff up for it? But you get into tonight. What? You know Seattle really well. You've done Seattle over the last several years, granted, with Russ as their quarterback. But what are they going to be trying to do tonight, first of all, on offense? Are they just – and with Josie Jewell out, by the way, Josie Jewell's out of this game. He's been ruled out. So right away, middle linebacker, which has been an issue. The Broncos, by their actions – have shown that they have some concerns with it, with the people that they went out and brought in, Joe Schobert, and kicking the tires heavily on Anthony Barr, things like that. I mean, am I reading this correctly? Seattle's just going to try to run it right up the gut against these guys tonight?
There is no question they're going to try to run the ball. They're going to try to do the, the form of their form of whatever their West Coast offense is with Shane Waldron. It's very much Rams-esque. So that's how it's built. I would imagine, just going to look at their personnel, I would imagine they'll base out of three wides. So they'll be an 11 personnel team, one back team. And you're going to get wide zone, tight zone. You're going to get the variations of that. And you're going to get all the play action stuff that comes off of that. And that's essentially what they're going to try to do. But they will try to be unbalanced from the standpoint of, they're going to want to run it more than they throw it. That's going to be Pete Carroll's mantra going into the season.
Heck, they want to do that when they got Russell Wilson as their quarterback. What do you think it's going to be like that?
It's even going to be more pronounced.
But yeah, you got to be careful. You got to be careful. Geno Smith, we can make all the jokes we want about him, and we'll do that when we visit with our friends in Seattle at 8 o'clock, 8:10 or so. We're going to do a simulcast with our sister station in Seattle, talk a little trash with them, and remind them that Geno Smith and not Russell Wilson's their quarterback. But yeah, I mean, if they're able to run the football, then you do the play action stuff. You still got DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett out there.
Is DK Metcalf disgruntled?
I don't think he's gruntled.
I don't think he's gruntled either.
I don't think he's feeling a high level of gruntledness right now. I think he might be a little disgruntled.
He went out. They talked about him getting traded.
That I think is something to watch as the season goes along. Yes, absolutely. If this thing goes away, we think it's going to go up there. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So what about on the other side? Pete Carroll. What is Pete Carroll going to do to defend Russ?
I think there's a couple things. This is a really interesting matchup to me. One, I think you'll play a lot of five down front, meaning you'll have three defensive linemen on the field or four defensive linemen, and you'll walk up another edge player, outside linebacker on the edge. So basically what you're saying is we're going to cover every gap. We're not going to let you run it on us. We're going to set edges. We'll make things cut back inside, but we're going to have the number count. We're going to have the bodies up there and the number count up there to basically deter your running game, but also to stop your running game, but also to make negative plays early. So I think what you'll see is five downs. I think you'll see pressure on first down. So we're going to come with pressure. Some of that is just run blitz stuff. We're gonna hit a gap. We're going to hit it hard, slice, knife through it, and try to get you in the backfield for minus one, minus two. And then just knowing Russ's propensity to hold on to the ball, how much press will you play early, right? Disrupt the timing of the route and the route combination. Make sure nothing's open early. So get inside leverage, press on the receivers, and take away early throws. That to me is, how you defend Russ and make him beat you being on time.
Make him play quarterback.
Make him play quarterback. And it'll be really interesting to see. And that's how you have to go about it.
Make our quarterback, who we gave up a king's ransom for, just paid a hefty contract, make him play quarterback.
Right.
That's going to be the Seattle plan.
In the crowd noise, yep. with the clock winding down, make it a very shortened possession game, meaning we're going to take two or three possessions away from you, the way we control the clock, the way we control the tempo of the game, the way we run the ball.
I'm one of those guys, you and I have argued about this over the last several years. To me, it's a passing league. I want to see the ball in the air. I want to see my quarterback throwing the football. I want to take advantage of the way the rules are set up, all that stuff. I'm a pass first guy. But for tonight, yeah, they better be able to run the football. Because I just don't trust that the passing game is going to be in sync in week one. Not after not playing it all together in the preseason, none of the games. Yeah, I know they got together for their little passing camps in San Diego, and they'd get together for their meetings and their walkthroughs every morning before practice at 6 a.m. That's great. That's great. But that doesn't even come close to matching what you're going to try to do tonight on the field, national TV, in Seattle, in front of a crowd that's going to have bloodlust in their hearts.
Right. They will.
And so it's just one of those games. As the season goes along, yeah, I want Russ to cook, but I do not want this to be, put it this way, if you're telling me, hey, Russell Wilson's going to have to throw the football 40 times tonight, I don't like that.
Right.
I don't like that at all.
I don't either. I don't think that's a great recipe for Denver, for Russell Wilson. I mean, they've got to be able to take some pressure. The other thing is, Mike, let's face it, we addressed the offensive line in the offseason, and it's not ready to play that way. right? We thought we had we solved the right tackle position. Didn't solve it. Looks like Calvin Anderson's going to start the game, right? Isn't he listed as a starter right now? Not an ideal circumstance up there in that crowd noise, for sure. So yeah, it'll be really interesting. I mean, what do you think? Like, what do you think that
I think they win. My score, my prediction is 17-13. So that tells you right there. I don't expect it to be a high scoring game. I don't expect the Broncos to put up a ton of points. I expect their defense to come out and play well and really kind of carry the night and be able to scratch out enough offense and hopefully have big nights from Javonte Williams and Melvin Gordon. And we can let the passing game, you know, start to figure itself out as we move into the next few weeks. But tonight, there's a reason that you have, you love Javonte Williams, you traded up for Javonte Williams, you brought back Melvin Gordon when you could have gone and tried to, you know, just draft a young running back and develop, but instead you bring back Melvin Gordon. And as the preseason's gone along, the growing sense is, yeah, this is, it's not going to be 50-50, but if it doesn't sound like it's going to be 80-20 when it comes to Javonte Williams and Melvin Gordon.
Right.
That it could be like a 60-40 split. So you got what I think is the best running back duo in the NFL today. I think with those two together, I'll put that 1-2 punch up against anybody in the NFL. So for tonight, lean on
them. Who's got the advantage? Russ? Or Pete?
Oh, let's talk about that. Morning Brew coming your way next.
It's time for your Morning Brew. Grab a cup of Joe and get caught up on everything you need to know. Here's Schlereth and Evans.
I think, first of all, my experience in Seattle was one of a kind. You know, 10 years, I couldn't imagine those years not being in my life and how special they were and how many games we won and how many amazing thrillers and just the Super Bowl we won and everything else. So I'm going to think about all those memories and everything else and the joy of that and the gratitude of that. And then also, we got a football game to play, so I'm excited to just get out there and play again.
I'm just getting Russ ready for tonight.
That's what you, that's it's what's your responsibility.
Gonna be. Oh, yeah, they're going to be booze tonight. They have, you talk about, I sit back. Paxton Lynch sits back in amazement at the smear campaign that has been going on since March in Seattle.
Yeah, you know what? We can't hold a candle.
No way.
Paxton Lynch smear campaign can't hold a candle.
Oh.
To the just the overall, just malfeasance.
Ah. He's a declining quarterback. He's lost his mobility. He's got too much of an entourage. He's gotten too big for his britches. He's got his corny videos, and we don't want to pay him the salary we're going to have to pay him. Blah 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 blah. We love Drew Locke.
Good luck with that.
Wow. So hey, it comes full circle tonight, and so you asked the question right before we went to break. Mark, a little under the weather. He did not get his reps during the preseason.
He
jumped right into the regular season.
I'm blaming Chad Brown.
You're blaming Chad?
Yeah.
Why?
Chad Brown.
But Chad didn't bring me on the 9 News telecast.
Oh, yeah.
So you get a couple of reps.
Get you calloused.
Right.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. File that away for next year. You need to get some preseason reps in. You tried to jump right into the regular season.
I didn't do any one-on-ones.
You look like Sean McVay's Rams.
Right, I did.
Or Matt LaFleur's.
I did no one-on-ones.
Packers.
You know what? I went with the, I don't like to say it, but I went with the Nathaniel Hackett theory.
Yes, you did.
But you're going to hear, wait till you hear me in December.
High five.
Yeah.
Air high five.
When you hear me in December, you're going to be like, wow, that guy sounds good.
I'll tell you what. Man.
He sounds fresh.
His
voice sounds fresh.
He sounds real fresh for week 17. Oh, my goodness. So you asked the question, who has the advantage, Pete versus Russ or Russ versus Pete? Wow. I gotta think that the coach has the advantage. The coach knows the player's strengths and weaknesses inside and out, probably more so than what especially since it's week one and Seattle's had all summer to prepare for this. Sure, Russell Wilson has a sense of what Seattle and Pete Carroll's all about, but, you know, they can throw in some wrinkles that, might catch Russ a little off guard.
I tell you what, I just really think that they're going to do their damnedest to have tons of dudes in the line of scrimmage, take away first down runs, run blitz, get you behind the chains, and then say, this is where Russ, you know, don't bite on double moves, guys.
Yeah.
Press, you know, let's disrupt routes, and let's make Russ beat us throwing the football.
Yeah.
That would be my guess.
Yeah. Their game plan is to make Russell Wilson beat him.
It's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for him.
You're going to sound great in December. Nick, that's awesome. Next on the Morning Brew.
Hard pass, looking left, holds the ball, throws left, and that ball is intercepted! Intercepted for the third time today. Bryce Callahan, welcome to the Chargers.
Ah, Bryce Callahan, why can't we get players like that?
Yeah.
Hey, Bryce Callahan went healthy. Enjoy him, Chargers. Because he'll be hurt by week six. Get the most out of him you can right now. So in the AFC West, no surprise, we saw the Chargers win that game 24-19. Not the pyrotechnics that we thought it would be. But how about Kansas City? How about Kansas City? Apparently the reports of Patrick Mahomes' demise were a bit premature. Tyreek Hill? Who needs Tyreek Hill? We don't need no stinking Tyreek Hill. Patrick Mahomes, 30 of 39 for 360 yards and 5 touchdowns. Hey, I might want to just, you know, slow down the Josh Allen runaway MVP train. Patrick Mahomes sending a message, I'm still here.
Yeah, Patrick Mahomes is going to be fine. And I will tell you this, play design. Watch Andy Reid, the play design, and watch the, I don't even know how many carries they got, but Edwards-Helaire looked really good. I just think there's going to be, I think there's going to be far more balance from this offense, and it's going to lead to Patrick Mahomes having a Kansas City winning the division and Patrick Mahomes having an MVP season.
Next on the Morning Brew.
Stay fair.
Take a good look. You won't see this one for long. C.J. Crone, wow!
That was kind of close.
The dugout looking, trying to figure out if this thing stayed in the yard. Dick shot!
Oh, the biggest dick shot in Rockies history, Coors Field history. Well, a tie now. C.J. Crone, 504 feet the other night. Way out in left field. I mean, just a moonshot. 504 feet ties Giancarlo Stanton for the longest home run ever at Coors Field. We've had some bombs lately. You had Ryan McMahon went 495 a little while ago. Christian Yelich went 499 last week. And then C.J. Crone, 504.
They don't like to do that. They don't like to throw the 500s in there. That's not something that they don't, you know, that the estimation, I think it's just because it's not accurate, is it?
I don't know. Damn. You don't think they can triangulate and...
Well, here's the thing about
velo this. And...
The baseball...
Launch angle and...
Baseball people hate it when you get close to records that they can't quantify, right?
Right.
They don't want to move forward with the game, although it looks like they're moving forward with bigger bases. Just feels like one of them big clown hats to me. Some big, gigantic bases. Like, everybody on your team can stand on the base and take a team photo.
You'd lay down on those things.
Yeah.
Take a little nap.
Nah, hey, Chris Bryant can't.
No.
He'll be out for freaking the season if he lays on one of them bases.
He's probably going to have to figure out, where exactly am I going to step on one of these bases? You don't want to step on the edge. You don't want to step in the middle.
Oh, shoot. That big, giant base, that's just more ankle to twist.
Next on the Morning Brew.
Gets it on first down, breaks a tackle at the 40, 35, 30, middle of the field, 25, 20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown! Air Force, Brad Roberts, his third touchdown of the afternoon.
Air Force Radio. So I got to be careful how I say this because Air Force does represent Colorado football. Okay, so good for the Zoomies, but... What's going on with the two flagship franchises, CU and CSU?
Not good.
As bad as maybe it's ever been around here in the state of Colorado when it comes to Those two.
What?
CU gets blown out at Air Force. CSU gets blown out at home by Middle Tennessee State. Come on, man.
Don't play intramurals, brother.
Yeah. I'm suddenly pining for the days of Dan Hawkins.
God.
Intramurals.
What was the score?
44-7. Yeah, we have to pass the Jays.
44-17. Is that what the score was?
Yeah, it was. 47-10.
It's time. You got to change the mantra.
Well, you know what?
If, you got to change the mantra.
If you have standards, whatever you want to say about Nebraska, they just decided, hey, we've got a certain standard that, you know, maybe it's unrealistic anymore, but we still believe we have a standard. And what's happened at the early part of this season was enough to get Scott Frost fired. He's gone. So, you know what? If you have a standard at CU that you're going to claim that you cling to,
yeah,
you can't continue on with Carl Durrell. You can't.
But who then? If you don't have the money to pay assistant coaches and to do the, who takes over that program?
Well, you were actually smart enough to recognize something in Mel Tucker, but you got to go find that kind of a guy and then somehow hope that, you know, he'll stick around for a few years.
Because he likes sunshine?
I don't know.
Look how beautiful Boulder is.
Yeah, exactly. Look at those.
You know what else is?
Look at those flat irons.
Yeah. Well, you know what else is more beautiful than Boulder? Michigan State and an extra $11 million.
That's right. That'll do it for the Morning Brew. Bring that to you each and every. 41-10 was the final in that one.
41-10.
Bring that to you each and every morning at 6:30. James Merrillat is James. I mean, come on. I mean, when you're talking about confidence level, you're talking about a guy who's always confident. James Merrillat joins us coming up next.
Let's ride Denver. The Russell Wilson era is here. Getting you set for tonight's Broncos Monday night opener in Seattle. Here's Schlereth and Evans.
Yeah, we got Mark playing a little hurt this morning. What else is new? As the text line has pointed out, did Mark catch the Chris Collinsworth cold? Mark, were you making out with Chris Collinsworth? Is that Stink or Randy Macho Man Savage? Mark, can you give us the cream will rise to the top, please?
Oh, yes. Was it the cream always rises to the top?
Oh, I just got shivers. James Merrillat of DenverFan.com joins us courtesy of Old Chicago Pizza and Tap Room. Game day is at Old Chicago. Man, James, we have been waiting for this ever since the news came down in early March that Russell Wilson was coming here. Now that we've arrived, now that game day is here, where is your confidence level at for tonight?
I think my confidence level for the season remains high. My confidence level for tonight is not particularly high. When the schedule came out in May, I picked the Broncos to lose this game. I just think it's the worst possible time to play at Seattle. Any other week would be easier than week one. I mean, Russell Wilson is going to be public enemy number one in Seattle tonight. That'll wane as the year goes on when they realize, hey, Geno and Drew aren't very good, and they'll start pointing the finger at Pete Carroll and John Schneider. But for now, it's all about Russell Wilson, and he wanted to get out of here, and you know he's the guy that everybody's going to show up and boo. So I think tonight's going to be tough, and I think as we saw over the weekend, and is that week one is a crapshoot, right? How many people got eliminated from their pools because the Titans couldn't beat the Giants at home, and the Bears beat the Niners, and there's always, you know, two or three or four games that just go the opposite way of what you think. I mean, it's the Jaguars winning a few years ago in week one, and they don't win another game the rest of the year. That just tells you how it's a crapshoot. I think the Broncos are going to lose tonight, which I know is an unpopular opinion, but I don't think it's going to be the end of the world. I think it's just sort of the circumstances, kind of the confluence of things here that work against them.
Well, I got no reps in the preseason, James, so my throat is already shot. But as I told Mike, wait till you hear me in December. I'm going to sound smooth as silk because, you know, I rested my voice.
It's all about December.
That's right. It's all about December. It's all about being ready for week 15, 16, yes, 16
exactly.
18, right?
Exactly. Yeah. So did this weekend's games, watching the Rams lay an egg, watching Green Bay lay an egg, watching a bunch of teams that have taken this philosophy of we're not going to touch each other in camp, does that weigh in? I know you said you picked them in May to lose, but did that weigh in this weekend make your opinion even stronger?
Yeah. I mean, I think you'd be – foolish to not look at some of the things we saw over the weekend and say, hey, that's a bad sign for the Broncos. Doesn't mean it's the wrong plan. I mean, you never want to, you know, just give up on a game and say, hey, well, we'll lose this one and we're playing for later. I don't think that's what Nathaniel Hackett is doing here, but I do think that being healthy and making sure you're ready to go later in the year is more important than week one. It just is. And I think you're going to see that over the long haul with the Rams and some of these other teams. Now, that's not to say that everybody who didn't play a lot in the preseason or at all in the preseason struggled in week one. When Minnesota came in here, I know it's the last preseason game, but we didn't see anybody from that team, and they looked pretty sharp. So it can work both ways. But, yeah, the fact that most of the teams who didn't play any of their starters in week one really struggled, especially offensively, and that's my biggest worry tonight. Like, look, if it was Drew, I would be more worried about what the Seahawks offense could do, because that guy's either feast or famine, right? He could go out and have a really good game, and we'd look back and say, of course, Drew's one good game was against the Broncos, or he could go out and throw four picks. That's obvious. But there at least is that potential that it would be a big night for him. I think we know what we're going to get out of Geno. It's not going to be much. But the Broncos offense, do I expect them to come out and be hitting on all cylinders? No, I think this is like a 20-17 type of game where, you know, one ill-timed turnover is what does the Broncos in. So, yeah, the fact that they didn't play at all, we have no idea what we're going to see, and there's sure to be some rust. It worries me tonight, and what I saw over the weekend added to that, without a doubt.
All right, so we're going to be having our simulcast with our sister station in Seattle just after 8 o'clock, and I'm going to ask him, what's with the all-out, all-summer-long smear campaign against Russell Wilson? What's the deal? Why do you hate this guy so much? Why were you in such a hurry to get rid of him? Did all the stuff coming out of Seattle this summer, did that influence you at all when it comes to how you feel about Russell Wilson being here?
No. If anything, it made me feel better about Russell Wilson being here. And I think kind of the cherry on top of the sundae was the ESPN column that came out, which was just trying to bash Russell Wilson and make him look bad. And it ended up making the Seahawks look bad, the article that came out last week, because they tried to position it as, well, in 2020, he became this selfish player, and it was all about trying to win the MVP. And then in 2021, I mean, there was that one play where he couldn't get away from Robert Quinn. I mean, a guy who had 18 and a half sacks, so there's no sin in that, but they make it sound like it's a sign that he can't play anymore. And those are all things from the last 2 years, yet they were trying to trade him in 2018. Like, they contradicted themselves in the article, and it just made it look like they were the guys and they were the ones that were the bad guys here. And Russell Wilson, in 4 years, knowing they wanted to get rid of him, threw 131 touchdowns and 31 picks. Like, he went out and played pretty well. That's the consummate pro there, and they won a lot of football games. And now they're going to get to enjoy Geno and Drew. So it just kind of had me laughing at Seattle trying to justify what they did. Look, if you want to move on from him, that's fine, but you got to have a plan, right? If you're going to move on from Brett Favre, you got Aaron Rodgers. If you're going to move on from even Alex Smith, you got Patrick Mahomes. You're moving on, and you had Geno on the roster, and you're bringing Drew in. That was foolish. That's going to become apparent as the year goes on, and I feel better and better and better about the fact that Russell Wilson's here, and for whatever reason, and I think it's arrogance more than anything else, they made a huge mistake in Seattle.
Real quick, I asked Mike this earlier. Who's got the advantage, the coach in Pete Carroll who knows the quarterback, or the quarterback in Russell Wilson who knows the Seahawks?
I would probably say Pete Carroll who knows the quarterback, because he knows 10 years of Russell Wilson. He knows all the things of, hey, here's the – and not that there are huge flaws in Russell Wilson's game, but, hey, here are the things we got to game plan around and hide and you know, try to make sure we're not exposing him. When it comes to Russell Wilson knowing the Seahawks, yeah, I guess he knows somewhat Pete Carroll's tendencies on defense. We didn't go up against that defense. And then the roster turns over so much, I don't know that he knows, you know, every flaw with every guy on that defense. So I would give a slight lean in terms of the advantage here to Pete Carroll. He knows week in and week out what they could and couldn't do with Russell Wilson, so I think he gives them a little bit of an advantage.
All right, James, so you got Seattle winning tonight, huh?
I do, and I hope I'm wrong. And look, if you looked at any of my picks over the weekend, I didn't hit anything. I mean, I got beat by a bunch of missed field goals and then 58-yarders against me. So, look, the fact that I'm picking Seattle tonight should be good news for Broncos country.
We hope so. Thank you, James.
See you, fellas.
All right, James Merrillat of DenverFan.com editor-in-chief at DenverFan.com, courtesy of Old Chicago Pizza and Tap Room. Game day is at Old Chicago. Four down territory coming up. Apparently, we wrote off Patrick Mahomes a little too quickly. That's next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.